Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos. It is Twitter Tuesday, and tonight's episode is brought to you by xbet.ag. You go over there right now to xbet.ag and enter promo code XBET and get a killer 100% welcome bonus for joining. Now, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, it is Twitter Tuesday, one of my most favorite segment episodes of the week, each week, because guess what? You, the fans, your input, your feedback, your questions absolutely matter. They make the show what it is. Like I said, fans, you guys are a big part of the show. So what further way to make you guys part of it more by adding in the element of a Twitter Tuesday where you guys ask me questions about the Broncos, anything, all things related Broncos, and I go on and answer them right here on Locked On Broncos. So get ready, strap your seatbelts in right now. Obviously, if you're on your ride home, drive safe, keep your eyes on the road. Okay, I know we got some listeners that listen to this at 2 a.m. on their drive home, okay? So appreciate you for listening. Buckle your seatbelt in. Locked On Broncos starts right now.
Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Twitter Tuesday here on Locked On Broncos, brought to you by XBet and the Locked On Podcast Network. Today is Twitter Tuesday. Like I said, I'm very excited about this. Got some great questions today from all the followers across the Twitter sphere from Locked On Broncos and the Cody Rourke NFL Twitter account. You guys are absolutely phenomenal. You guys give great feedback, and your questions are spot on about relevant football information regarding the Denver Broncos. So, real quick, before we dive into the Twitter Tuesday segment, I want to remind you guys to go on over to iTunes, Apple right now, and go and leave a review for Locked On Broncos. And when you do leave a review, down there in the comment section, where it asks you, what are your thoughts on the show? What do you like about this podcast? Obviously, give it a star rating. You have either a one-star, five-star rating system that you can have. Also, go down there and leave your Twitter user handle, okay, in the review, and you may be selected by Pro Football Focus and the Locked On Podcast Network to win a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription valued at $39.99. You get access to the latest analytics, stats, overall ratings, grade performances by your favorite team and player, obviously the Denver Broncos. You get all that access for free by just listening to Locked On Broncos. You may win. So go over right now to iTunes, leave a review for the Locked On Broncos podcast, leave your Twitter handle, and tell us why you love the show, and you have the opportunity to win a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. So without further ado, let's kick off the first question, obviously coming from Jacob Smith. Now, Jacob Smith at JS Mile High 9798 has been following Locked On Broncos for quite some time. He gave his first question this week, and he asked, well, he said, great reaction pod, perfect for the ride home yesterday. McMoney, meaning Brandon McManus, needs work, but what do you think of Crediculous so far? And if you don't know his Twitter username, Isaiah McKenzie's Twitter handle is @_Crediculous. And I think that's pretty on par for, you know, the type of player, the type of electric player that, you know, Isaiah McKenzie really is. Now, I absolutely think that Isaiah McKenzie, he usually is one play away. I think he's either a shoestring tackle away or a player away each week from breaking one open. Now, we saw him break one open this week where he returned it for a touchdown, but obviously they called a holding penalty on Jamal Carter, so it brought it back. But guess what? Bold prediction here, Jacob. My bold prediction for Isaiah McKenzie, he's going to drop one here very, very soon. And it's going to be, he's going to return one, and he's going to drop the opposing special teams, you know, coverage unit, and he's going to leave them in the dirt. It's going to be against the New York Giants on Sunday Night Football. Okay, after the bye week, I guarantee you, primetime Sunday Night Football in the Mile High City. The lights are big. Everybody's watching. The nation's watching. So guess what? The nation's best playmakers will make those explosive plays. And who better? Who better than this Isaiah McKenzie guy? A guy who people look at, you know, when you look at Isaiah McKenzie, they're like, oh, well, he's a little undersized to be playing receiver. Well, guess what? He reminds me a lot of Trendon Holliday, except better. Okay, Trendon Holliday had an absolutely phenomenal, okay, career returning kicks for the Denver Broncos, and he had several fumbles, right? He had punt returns, all that stuff. Isaiah McKenzie, is the Energizer Bunny. He's a little electric man that I think is going to be a big piece for this Denver Broncos team this year. He's a wild card. He's an X factor. Now, when you look at the offensive side of the ball, you look at the defensive side of the ball, you know your X factors. You know you got Trevor Siemian, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, C.J. Anderson, Jamal Charles, guys who are X factors on offense. And you got defense, Von Miller, Chris Harris Jr., Keep Tlaib, Derek Wolfe, etc. Who do you have on special teams? That guy's name is Isaiah McKenzie, and he's a speedy little guy. He's smart. He's very smart. We saw against the Los Angeles Chargers on Monday Night Football, the first week of the regular season, he actually caught a punt that was being caught by the Los Angeles Chargers player at the same time. He caught it, and by miracle, I'm telling you what, if you've never returned punts, okay, I used to be a punt returner, kick returner, defensive back, all that stuff. Now, I don't know about you, in the NFL, it's different because you're going against punters that can boot it up in the air and the hang time is ridiculous and it goes absolutely far in high school or, you know, at the developmental level when you play, the ball's there for a little bit, but not quite as long. So now you got guys running down at you full speed in one of the biggest, most collision sport games ever. And it's a worry. You worry, you know, returners often at times muff punch because they're worried about getting hit. And we haven't seen that with Isaiah McKenzie. He had a drop against the Oakland Raiders, but
there is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
He didn't lose the ball in a way that where it hurt the Denver Broncos. So that's great news right there for Isaiah McKenzie. So Jacob Smith, thank you for the love, man. I appreciate you listening. Keep asking questions. Twitter Tuesdays for the fans. Okay. Twitter Tuesday absolutely is 110% for you guys to ask questions. Get your opinion out there on the world, you know, in the audio world. It matters. It's absolutely important. Now, another guy who listens to the show avidly, and I appreciate a lot. Okay. He's a guy that drives home late at night from work, 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning, listening to Locked On Broncos. He says it helps keep him awake. Now, I just want to remind him, keep your seatbelt on, my man. Keep your eyes on the road, and hopefully I don't bore you to sleep, man. So Dave Scott at Tank2521, he asked the question, what do you think the reason is for the offense to completely lose momentum after the first quarter? They look good in the first. Alternatively, another question, in focusing on defending the running game, do you think the no-fly zone has slipped up a little bit? Let me answer this question for you, okay? I think really any lack of consistency on the offensive side of the ball, obviously with Trevor Siemian starting off hot in most of the games and kind of, you know, the last two games against the Bills and the Raiders, we kind of seen him diminish a little bit, get a little more timid, especially with pressure coming down on him. Sometimes he held the ball a little too long. Sometimes it wasn't completely on him. You know, there's a lot of debates on Twitter going on right now about that. But overall, I do think that the Broncos just get out of rhythm. They get out of rhythm. I don't know if it's going into halftime and having time off or not being out there, or if teams are just making better adjustments and the offense isn't really adjusting to it. I just think that, you know, obviously guys need to step up. I think Demaryius Thomas needs to step up a little bit. Emmanuel Sanders is doing all he can. There was a play against the Oakland Raiders where Demaryius Thomas dropped. It would have been a touchdown. He dropped it. I just think there's a lot of different things that are going on there. I'm a little concerned a little bit. Now, I'm not in cause for too much concern because guess what? We're heading into a bye week. And I think the bye week is the absolutely most important part of what's going on because the Denver Broncos understand right now early on areas that are hurting them. And obviously, you know, early on in the season, they've been relatively healthy. So that's a good thing going into a bye week. But you also have some guys who are a little banged up a little bit. So it gives them time to rest off for a couple days. And obviously you have a bye week. Now, a bye week, people tend to forget. A bye week is not, okay, you guys have a week off. A bye week is, okay, you don't have a game. Now you can take an extra week to prepare and fix what is hurting you guys as a team. So I think offensively, they're going to work a little bit more on, obviously, pass protection. You know, I think the run game is there. I just think late in games that the team goes away from it. You know, obviously we saw, you know, the Broncos go away from the run game a little bit against the Oakland Raiders and obviously the Buffalo Bills, and Jamal Charles and C.J. Anderson have been running the ball really well. The Broncos' run game this year is absolutely amazing. Now, to answer your question about the run defense has been absolutely phenomenal. Okay, what was it? I gave the stat. There was a total between all the tailbacks that they faced, that there was a total of 50 carries between Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, Marshawn Lynch, and LeSean McCoy. And out of those 50 total carries, only 95 yards total. You know, the opposing, you know, rushing offenses in those four games combined have ran against the Denver Broncos. That's absolutely phenomenal. That stat right there is super special. Now, it opens up the question, like you said. Obviously, does that mean that the nose fly zone is slipping up a little bit? I don't think they're slipping up. Now, when I look at it, you know, the run defense is there. What's affecting the Denver Broncos DBs and pass coverage more so isn't like getting burnt. Obviously, there are some plays where I think the safeties, you know, I think Will Parks has struggled, obviously, in pass coverage, you know, this year against tight ends and some slot receivers. The Denver Broncos, the first couple weeks, actually, in week two, the only week they did it really was go to a nickel package against, you know, the Dallas Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott and Jason Witten, and he had the receivers that they had over there in Dallas. And, you know, we started to see a little bit more of the base package with Todd Davidson. Todd Davidson barely played against the Dallas Cowboys, but he played a lot of snaps against the Buffalo Bills, obviously the Chargers, and the Raiders. So now the Denver Broncos get to go into this bye week, and I think it's a great time, obviously, heading in there, because now you get to look at things a little bit. You get to figure out, okay, this is what we got to do better. And I think the DBs under Joe Woods' tutelage, because he was the DB coach last year, they'll be fine. Darian Stewart, we've seen him obviously get exposed a couple times in deep pass coverage. He's been a liability. I think teams are going to try to attack that a little bit. But when I go back and I look at the anatomy of a play, you know, there are certain instances where it's not completely on Darian Stewart. However, against the Raiders, he gave up a pretty big play, you know, straight up the seam. And that's what, you know, teams are going to do. They're going to isolate quicker slot guys up the seam. So I think while the defensive backfield hasn't looked as great as what we saw in 2015, 2016, it's not because they've regressed at all. It's more so because, you know, the Broncos, you know, they've gotten pressure on the quarterback, but most teams are just throwing quick passes now. They're throwing quick passes or the protection's holding up to where Von Miller, Shaquille Barrett, Derek Wolfe can't get to quarterbacks in time, you know, and that's an element of football. That happens with every team. So I'm really not too worried right now at this point with what the Denver Broncos secondary is doing. I think they're going to be okay. I think the bye week comes at a much needed time. Now you know what you got to fix. You know what you're struggling at. You played some pretty tough competition the first 4 weeks of the season. You actually played some pretty tough competition. Absolutely. Phenomenally. You have played some tough teams. So going back to the drawing board, obviously you have a tough team coming to town with the New York Giants coming up, you know, on Sunday Night Football. And then it just gets tougher from there on out. Denver's going to have a stretch where they're on the road. They have to, you know, go play at Philadelphia. They have to go play at Washington. Those are going to be very tough games, you know. So when I look at it, the Denver Broncos want to go into this kind of scenario right now knowing what teams are going to attack, and I think they can improve on it. Obviously, iron sharpens iron. So to answer your question there, Dave, absolutely. I think that the run defense is doing great. I think the secondary is going to be fine. I think the offense will identify what they need to improve, obviously, going forward, starting with the matchup on Sunday Night Football with the New York Giants. So before we dive into the remaining questions for tonight's show, I want to tell you guys about xbet.ag, another online sportsbook that I've found to be very phenomenal as well, very high quality in terms of sports book and obviously betting. It's like having Vegas in your pocket. Now, xbet.ag, I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw it. I mean, I like to bet on sports. I'm a guy who gambles. I even bet my friends for sports, so I figured I'd give xbet.ag a shot. Now, they have a mobile website where after I sign up, I can just log in and bet on any game that's out there right now from my phone. I don't have to go to Vegas. I don't have to go to Vegas and physically put a bet in. I could go to xbet.ag from my phone, choose a game, and place a bet. Now, you got to go over there and check them out. Their website is very easy to navigate and manage, and their graphics are sick. I've never seen a sports book that really took it to the lengths that, you know, xbet.ag has. And the reason why I say that is because they offer live in-game wagering. So all of a sudden, let's say that you're in the fourth quarter of a game and you have faith in your defense and making a play, you can literally bet on that situation, okay? Live in-game wagering. It's heart-pounding. It offers you, obviously, a lot of opportunities to stack your cash. But the good news is when you join xbet.ag today, you go on and you sign up and you use promo code xbet and you'll receive up to a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. Don't be the guy saying, you know, I would have won big if I would have bet on this. I should have bet on this. Don't be the guy that shoulds all over himself. Join xbet.ag now and start winning today. Also, if you refer a friend to xbet.ag, you'll get also up to a 100% deposit of their first deposit as well. So bring your friends, build a bank over at xbet.ag. The newest and most exciting betting platform on the planet. Don't forget to use promo code XBET when you sign up to claim your bonus today. So to finish out the show, we're going to answer several remaining questions that we have. Obviously, Carl over at Mile High Huddle, he asked a two-part question. One, who has been better between Alan Barber and Max Garcia? And two, Do you think after the bye, they need to just commit to one of them? You know, that's a great question, Carl. And to be honest with you, I think after going back and watching all the film, I went and broke down. Obviously, I have it on my DVR and also have Game Pass as well on the coaches film. I went back and I broke down probably the Broncos game against, obviously, the Chargers, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Buffalo Bills. And I'm going through my third time around now on the Raiders game. And I think that Allen Barber has been the most consistent. Now, there have been times where Allen Barber has struggled and has given up interior pressure. But there's also a lot of times where Allen Barber actually looks really good. And he looks more consistent than Max Garcia. And what I mean by that is he doesn't give up a lot of inside penetration. He holds his ground. He protects, obviously, the inside A gap and obviously the B gap as well. He does a very good job at holding his ground. And he's not really getting pushed off the ball, you know, by quicker guys. He does a good job of maintaining a low center of gravity. So I think Allen Barber out of the two is definitely the guy, in my opinion, who should be the starting guard for the Broncos. I think Garcia struggled, you know, once again, I broke it down in our episode yesterday recap in the Raiders game. And Garcia struggled. He gave up that quick bull rush early on to Mario Edwards Jr., who got the sack on Trevor Siemian. So I think after the bye week, I think they need to commit to one. You know, when I look at the game of football, I just wonder how often can you really go back and forth week in and week out offensive series? Now, I think maybe this can answer some fan questions earlier about why the offense isn't being consistent. Now, I don't know. It could be a part of it, but maybe rotating these guys every series is killing the chemistry or the momentum that the offensive line is building. You know, I really don't know. I mean, it could be something that we can look at, but I think they have to commit to one after the bye week. If they keep coming in week in and week out, and we're going to be heading into obviously week five when we come back for the Denver Broncos, week four bye, you head into week five and you're still rotating a guy at guard. Most NFL teams have their starting offensive line there. Now, if anybody, you know, at the beginning of the season that isn't in the offensive line position, either got benched or they got hurt. So mostly the offensive lines across the league are set, except for the Denver Broncos, obviously at the guard position. I think Ron Leary's a huge bright spot for the Denver Broncos, in my opinion. I think he's been a big anchor for the team alongside Matt Paradise. And I think he helps out Menelik Watson a little bit. You know, we touch base a lot on Menelik Watson's struggles, but ideally, I do think that...
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay, judges... That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Ron Leary on his side actually helps him out a little bit. Obviously, when you can bring in a tight end as well and a tailback to help chip and protection, I think those things play a major role in consideration. So yes, I do think after the bye week, they need to just commit to one of them. And I think right now, if they were going to commit to one guy, I think the guy who's playing better is obviously Allen Barber. So thanks, Carl, for that question. Now, Derek Esquivel asked me, are there any needs the Broncos should try and address before the upcoming trade deadline? You know, I do think that the Denver Broncos may, you know, before the trade deadline, I wouldn't say there are some areas they need to, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw the Denver Broncos maybe trade a wide receiver threat like Cody Latimer to a team in need of a wide receiver, a number two or a number three receiver. I mean, there are some teams out there that could use a guy like Cody Latimer and his size, and maybe he might be a better fit offensively for them. But I do think that maybe they could trade, you know, a guy like Cody Latimer for a tackle. I think the Denver Broncos could move to make a move for a star guy at tackle. Obviously, we saw in 2015, John Elway made a major move for Vernon Davis. Now, unfortunately, that move didn't work out because Vernon Davis didn't, you know, perform to any of the expectations we thought or hoped for. And I don't know if it was because of the Gary Kubiak offense or, you know, if he really just declined in his play. So I think maybe at tackle, I think right tackle obviously is an area, and depth at tackle obviously are areas that we can see. Obviously, we were worried when Garrett Bowles got hurt and we had to put Donald Stevenson in the tackle. And obviously we saw Menelik Watson get hurt this past week against the Raiders. And then Donald Stevenson comes in one play and gives up a sack to Khalil Mack. It almost is a sack fumble. So at the same time, I'm worried about the depth at tackle. So I can see Denver Broncos moving in, obviously, to make some moves at tackle as well. So thank you for that question there, Derek. Last question here on Lockdown Broncos Twitter Tuesday is from my man Ty Walden over Predominantly Orange. He says, is it time to pull the plug on Menelik Watson and start someone else at right tackle? You know, Ty, As much as I've been frustrated with seeing Menelik Watson on the field sometimes, and obviously, you know, this the pressure he surrenders, you know, in terms of getting Trevor Siemian either sacked or hit, I don't think that right now the Denver Broncos really have anybody at right tackle that they can use. Now, I think a guy, if he was still on the roster, that could have been useful was Tyson Brailo. I think maybe a little bit more healthier. Maybe he could have gotten a little better. I don't know. You know, he struggled in training camp as well. He struggled tremendously in training camp. So right now, Menelik Watson, in my opinion, as weird as it is to say this, is the best option at right tackle on this Denver Broncos roster currently. Unless they decided to start Max Garcia at guard, then you can maybe move, obviously, Alan Barber to tackle. I think that could be a move. And, you know, I don't know. I think the Denver Broncos will play around with the idea of looking into some depth at right tackle. But I definitely think this year, obviously, heading into the 2017 NFL draft, obviously, I think a right tackle will be on the Broncos' radar, probably in the mid-second to third round. I don't think they're going to wait, you know, have another pick this year in the first round where they decide to go with an offensive lineman. I could be surprised, but, you know, that's why I do podcasts and I'm not in the front office of the Denver Broncos. So I think right now, Menelik Watson's the guy who's going to stay there at right tackle for the Denver Broncos. You don't quite pull the plug yet unless you bring in a guy that you know is going to be quality in terms of replacing him and obviously protecting Trevor Siemian's right side. I think Garrett Bowles, I think if you can make a clone of Garrett Bowles and put him at the right tackle spot, I think the Denver Broncos might be okay. I'm very impressed with Garrett Bowles' play early on in the season, though. So Ty, thank you, Derek, Carl, my guys over at Predominantly Orange, Mile High Huddle, thank you for the questions there. I absolutely agree with you guys. So maybe that could answer a lot of different questions, you know, regarding this Denver Broncos offense going forward. But, you know, we're going to look into it a lot more, obviously, going forward. Obviously, we have a bye week. We have a lot of time off. There's a lot of possibility for things to be happening. So we're going to stay tuned, obviously, in the presses. I'm waiting for the press releases right now, just for the news of what's to come. Obviously, the Denver Broncos making their moves, you know, in silence right now. They're working hard, obviously, getting back to practice, maybe giving the guys a couple days off, and they're going to get back to practice here, fix the things that they're struggling with, and I think the Denver Broncos will be okay, and I look forward to seeing them kick off again after the bye week against the New York Giants on Sunday Night Football, Week 5, primetime game. Like I said, at my prediction, Isaiah McKenzie's going to score a return touchdown of some sort in that very game, and I think the Denver Broncos will look good. So the New York Giants are struggling. Denver Broncos are doing just fine right now. Obviously 1-0 currently in the NFC against the NFC East, you know, after defeating the Cowboys in Week 2. So we're going to see that. This is your host, Cody Rourke from Lockdown Broncos. Tonight's edition of the show has been brought to you by xbet.ag. Go over there now and win big. xbet.ag. Don't forget to use promo code xbet for up to a 100% deposit bonus. This is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night and go Broncos.